In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. I was sitting with Abuna Shenouda and Abuna Joseph on Tuesday evening, and they asked me what I was going to say today. There are some things that are so very simple, right? You heard the instruction that we just prayed from St. Matthew the Evangelist. You heard it. What needs to be added? See, it's deceptively difficult. And when you have plumbed the depths of your own relationship to this particular passage, and you find nothing there, well, I'll give you the reason for why that happens later, but then you ask people, you start to read, what about this or what about that? I told them what I was going to say, and I'm going to start with you now. Most people, when they go from times of fasting to feasting or back again, they're like the pendulum. Have you ever seen a clock with a very long pendulum, and it goes tick, tock, tick, tock, tick, tock, right? Well, what if just stopped the tick for a while? It could. If the spring were wound properly with each time the pendulum moved, it wouldn't have to tick for a long time. Talk would be a long time. At the other side, there'd have to be balance, there'd have to be symmetry, but it would be for a long time. That's all right for something that is simply keeping a measurement of something else. But when it is you are expected to learn something from the experience and not move just simply right back into the same old habit you had before your fast began. You have to demand of yourself, I'm not going to do this. I haven't had a credit card in at least 25 years. I've not had a credit card. I realize that when you have a credit card, you buy things on credit. And you pay a premium. And if you don't make the payment on time, you pay $39 extra charge with, you know, and blah, blah, blah. There's no way to win with a credit card. There is no way to win. If you have what I have, a debit card, then it's just like I'm paying cash. And so it's a very, very clean break. I've learned, how did I learn that? I got into trouble with credit. And I gathered up the charges and the interest payment. Everything that I bought, I paid $1.20 for a dollar's worth of goods. 20 cents, and that's 20% that I lost because I wanted it now. I learned from that. Okay, what have you learned from your feasting? What have you learned? Did you have to let out your clothes a little bit or get another, you know, let the belt change the notch? Or did you have to do something? Did you find that if food is not your problem, that you're doing something else? And you require restraint. There are all kinds of subjects I could talk about that are, you know, habituations. We get into a pattern of life and we just keep doing them over and over and over. Well, this is to break that mold. So the first thing that you have to do when you are going into this fast is you have to determine that you are going to take something out of it. You know, many times I've been asked to go on vacations by different people. And I always say, what are you going to do when you get there? And you'd be surprised how that takes all of the oxygen out of the individual. They don't have a doggone thing to say. Well, I'm going to look at this, and I'm going to look at that, and I'm going to... Well, you know, you can turn it on TV and see it. You know, I don't have to stand underneath the Eiffel Tower to get a sense of the Eiffel Tower. I've seen it from every view. I've seen it from more views than the architect Eiffel himself. So what am I going to do when I go there? See, because there are legitimate places and destinations for you to go to and to, when you get there, do something. But if you're not going to do anything, why are you going? It's just some lust kind of to say, yeah, I was there. And it's wrong. And as soon as you detect that your money went and you have nothing but memories which are steadily decaying from that event, was it worth what you spent in order to get it? If it was, repeat it. But I'm telling you that in the relationship that you have with God, we start our fasting because we wish to draw closer. And as a matter of fact, the fathers of the Holy Church have made it mandatory that if you do not fast, you may not have communion, because you are truly not trying to be in communion with the Lord. To be in communion with the Lord means that you want to address the gross nature of your humanity and his perfected divine nature and move towards that as, that's how I would prefer to live. It's not going to be given to you without effort, because anything that is given to you, you will soon quickly despise, no matter what it is. Any kind of gift, a spiritual gift, an intellectual gift, a monetary gift, it doesn't make any difference. If you didn't earn it, pretty soon you will despise it. Just think of the newest royal member of the family in England, Meghan Markle, right?
I don't want to be a princess anymore.
But before, when she was being romanced, oh, how she must have talked to her friends, how they must have looked at her with great envy. And to what end? To no end. So see, what we do then is we will take some opportunity that we have in life and we will make a decision. And right now the church is trying to tell you, pull back. Here are the kinds of decisions that are going to benefit you. And what are they? To serve. To not be served, but to serve. Everybody remembers the words of John F. Kennedy. We said, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. The Lord is saying that to you with every fast that we undertake. Do something for the good of the church and see how it makes you feel. See how it makes you feel. See the difference between receiving and giving. Because this is the time when you should give alms. If you do it any time of the year, this is the time that you should do it in a more profound way. Because if you're giving something that is just the perfunctory 10%, so what? It said earlier in the gospel message that we prayed today, if you have done everything that your master has asked you to do, and you have done it exceedingly well, say, I am an unprofitable servant, because all I did was what I was asked to do. And isn't that the case in any business? When you see a young person who's a hard charger and they're working in a large company, and you see that they're spending hours that they don't have to spend, you see, that is a person that is going to be promoted. Why? Because he has invested his own time, his own energy, without any more salary. He wants. And this is the way the Lord looks at you and me. So when you're praying about things that are peripheral and maybe only for your own family, if you've ever asked yourself, why aren't they happening? Why? Why doesn't that happen? Well, there's the two reasons. First of all, it's that pendulum effect that I spoke to you about. The Lord says, okay, you're on this side. Well, now you're going to bounce back on that side. You haven't made any progress. Two steps forward, two steps back again. Two steps forward, two steps back again. What are you going to do to change it up? What are you going to do? But number two, and this is the most difficult thing. Do you know when you say a prayer, it's no good at all and unprofitable unless you understand the words you are saying? Everybody knows our Father who art in heaven. Now think about this. Forgive me my trespasses as I forgive those who trespass against me. Just think about that one, because that's deceptively hard. That's really, really hard. And in confession, I guarantee you, most people have trouble forgiving somebody. Every day they wake up, every day they carry this load, and it bends them over when the cross is, as the Lord described it, is a light thing. Take up my cross and follow me. My burden is light. All you who are heavy laden, all you are carrying a great burden, put it down. Take up my cross and follow me. Do you want to feel forgiven? Imagine if you had to work in some dusty coal mine or something that got your body completely grimy. And then they said, okay, you've got 30 seconds for a shower. Get in there and start rubbing. Because in 30, the water's going to come on, and 30 seconds later, the water's going to go off. That's how people confess. They don't stay in confession long enough to get to the root of their own problem. They're saying that the reason that this thing is occurring to me in my life is because of, and then they will give you a litany of different things. You have to look at it and say, what is it that I pray for? What is it that is, that sometimes it even makes me question whether God listens to me? Does God care about me? Am I his son? You know how many mothers come to me and tell me about their kid that's not doing well? There's, you know, it's mothers more than fathers, by far. But you know how, that's just a regular part. I mean, I put a little category around it. I said, okay, we're in this category now. I don't know where the narrative is going to take me when I sit down with somebody, but I know there's going to be that category if it's a woman and if she has a child. There's always going to be something. Why doesn't the Lord then just answer you? It's because you haven't answered the Lord. See, to pronounce a word without embracing the meaning and the meaning allowing it to change you, you have no chance. You have no chance at all. You might as well give up. Don't say great, like there are some meditations from the fathers, some saints, and they are prayers. And when you read them, they will bring tears to your eyes. They are so beautiful. They are so elegant. The meaning is so true. Okay? Stand up before the cross or the icon in your house. Hold the book and read. Do you think it's going to do any good? Those words don't belong to you. They belong to the person who wrote them. But the petition that you are capable of, writing from your own heart and from the truth of your own experience, God will always listen to. It's like when you have a little kid come and they are really contrite. They are sad that they've done something. They're sad that you're angry with them. They come to you and they make an apology. You can always tell when the apology is sincere coming from a child. You can always tell it. And when they're playing about with words or making excuses, do you know how you feel like you've lost a part of your relationship with them? How you feel a distance between you and your own flesh and blood? Well, that's how the Lord feels. That's how the Lord feels when you pray prayers that don't belong to you. And the prayers that do belong to you, maybe it's coming out of a peaked emotionalism. In other words, if we catch you at another time, you won't be able to pray that way. I have to be in the mood. I have to have the certain preparation. No. It has to be that the fasting changes you. You have to allow the fasting to change you. You have to allow the words of God, which you've heard many, many times before. Sometimes you hear these words during a feast. The reason that we have this is not because we have a limited number of scriptures. It's because that these lessons that the Lord is trying to drive home through the wisdom of the fathers, taking them as a good physician takes medicines from a shelf to heal somebody, they're to be understood in the context of the type of fasting in which we are immersed. And there's nothing more powerful than this. That's why we call it Great Lent. Great Lent. It's the time where we start to tear away at the little things that we do that are so silly. And when you look in the mirror, you say even to yourself, it's so silly. Well, why do I do it? Because there's a little pleasure attached to it, and I really like that little pleasure. Forgive me for saying this. My mother and my father were lifetime cigarette smokers. I hated them for this. I hated them. Almost everybody, it was a habit in the people that day. They hadn't been told about cancer, or they hadn't been told about a lot of other things. Remember, I'm talking about people that were born. My mother was born 1913. So we're talking about people that, you know, are quite a bit older. They have a lot less knowledge, a lot less education. And it looked in the movies like the most romantic thing in the world. You know, somebody would have a cigarette and they would wave it around as a prop and they would blow the smoke out. But when you see somebody today and they've got this vape stick in their hand and they're just sucking this thing for all they're worth, you're thinking, what kind of a little tiny buzz are you trading your health for? It's an amazing thing because, you know, if you want to get stoned, I understand that, smoke dope. But this is just some nicotine. It's like a guy who is, you know, like filing his teeth to a point or something. To what end? To what end? The whole system degenerates. The whole system degenerates. And for what? What did you trade it for? Well, even if a man is a ruler and he loses God, he is in the same condition as described in the scriptures. What if a man has the whole world yet loses his soul? So we have to think, this is Great Lent. I want you to start it out with power. Not just a change of diet, but I'm going to change. I'm going to work hard and change. I'm going to make the words of the Bible my words because I'm going to do my best to live them. Now, of course, you know there are people in the world that are retarded. You know, you may be one of them. The Lord knows if you're retarded. You understand? So he's not going to judge you the same way he's going to judge another person. It's written, some will give 30, some 60, and some 100. Well, the 30 compared to the 100 is like a person with a 30 IQ, and the guy with 100 is like a 100 IQ. All right? Or change it up. The person who's 100 is like a guy with a 200 IQ, and the guy with 30 is like a guy with a 60 IQ. A 60 IQ is still an imbecile. Excuse me, a moron. There's idiots, imbeciles, and morons. This is how they described in 1960. This is how all the American Psychological Association graded people. Idiots, imbeciles, and morons. Hand to God. So, you know, I'm using these words Because no one wants to think of themselves as an idiot, an imbecile, or a moron. Okay, I'll take you at your word. Then don't act like one. And number two, go to confession. You don't have to confess to me. You can go to confess to anybody you wish, anyone you wish, but go there. Go there and sit with them and say, these are the things that I have been doing. I am sick of them. I want to make a U-turn. And I'm going to stop being an idiot, imbecile, or a moron. I'm going to stop. And I'm going to make the one who created me happy to see my progress. You know, we have Gio, my grandson, who has autism. And, you know, he's just... He just writes his name now. He's in kindergarten, right? And it's such progress for him. He does other things that are more advanced, but sometimes fine motor coordination is something that doesn't come to everybody easily with being in the autistic spectrum. But he's able to legibly read his own name or to write his own name. And we go, wow, that's great. That's what the Lord does. See, I've called you all kinds of names today, and after we get out of church, you may stone me. But the fact of the matter is that when you start to make progress, the Lord is going to look at you the same way that I look at my grandson, Gio. And he's going to go, good boy. There will be encouragement, not false encouragement, not fake emotion, but real thanksgiving because my grandson with autism is doing better. And we have hope that he will be able to mainstream by the time he gets into college or even, I mean, high school or even earlier because he has begun to show lots of progress. So we don't think of him as saying, well, he's soon to be 6 years old, but he really only does the things that an average four-year-old would do. We don't do that. We said, he used to not be able even to control screaming. And unless you're around autistic kids, you won't know what I'm talking about. But now he's gaining self-control. You can tell him stop, and he stops himself. So when you see this in someone, and I'm picking from my own family so that you will not feel like any of you have had a finger pointed at them, but you will know how God feels because we all belong to him in the same way. He has different criteria for different. Imagine if you have to be as perfect as Pope Abba Tawadros II has to be perfect. For him to get a pat on the back from God, symbolically speaking, as opposed to my grandson Gio. Yeah, it's something. As you progress, more is expected. So, pray for me. There are things that I wish to expunge from myself. And I will pray for you. I know many of you in confession, and I know the things that you need badly to expunge. And if we do this together, collectively as a church family, we may enjoy more success, and we may not have what I typified in the beginning as the pendulum effect of we're fasting now, then we're going to be feasting later, and all the stuff's coming right on back. It's like, get out the winter clothes. It's cold. Oh, get out the bikini. It's time to go to the beach. Think about these things in a serious way. However it is that you want to turn it over in your mind. I've used examples that are very vivid for me. They may not be for you. They might even be offensive for you. But the reason that I've said them is so that you will see, when you look at yourself in the mirror, what is there that you want to change about yourself? You, what do you want to change for you so that you can draw closer to the one who made you It's the purpose of our fasting. And may it be glorious and may it be fulfilled in all of your activity from this day forward. Glory be to our God, both now and ever, and to the age of all ages. Amen.